The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network. The following is a pre-recorded program.
This could be the largest prayer initiative in world history.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here, delighted to be with you on The Line of Fire with a wonderful guest, a dear friend. We don't see each other much, but when we do, it's this instant, deep, deep connection. Mike Bickle, we compared notes. We had the same initials, MLB. We both got saved in 1971. I mean, he was a few months ahead of me. And God has called him to be in the center of the world prayer movement for many, many years. In fact, when you go to hang out with him, you can't hang out with him because he's always in the prayer room. And Mike, great to have you with us on The Line of Fire. When God called you to be a prayer leader, was that like a big thing? Like, man, I'm Mr. Prayer. I live in the prayer closet. I want to birth a prayer movement. Was that who you were already? Was that something new to you?
It was new to me. The truth is, it was 40. Well, first of all, yes, you're one of my dear friends. We have so much fun. But more than that, you inspire me. Your insights are incredible. And one thing I love about you, besides the other 10 things I love about you, is that you take on tough issues, but with such a kind tone. Most people that take tough issues, they rev up and they get derogatory in their tone, or they get angry. You right in the face with accurate information, biblical information, but kindness. And when I talk behind your back, which I do often, I go, there's so few voices that are this clear, this biblical, this courageous, but still kind. So thank you. So now I'll get back to your question. I had to say something about you first. And yes, I was saved 3 months before you in 1971. So I still am your spiritual father. At least that's how I see myself, you know, just like
my elder, my example.
No, you're my elder because you're 2 months older. Okay. I'm just more spiritually. No,
that's anyway, it. You're spiritually ahead of me for sure.
Okay. I'll get serious now. No, when the Lord spoke, it was 40 years ago, actually. It was May 1983, and the Lord spoke. I won't go into it, but the audible voice of the Lord. And I say that with holiness and reverence. You don't say that and do something, say something. That's not casual. That's really extremely rare, at least in my life. And he said that I would do 24-hour prayer with singers and musicians. I'm not a singer or a musician. And honestly, in May 83, I didn't like prayer. I really didn't. I loved, like you, I loved Leonard Ravenhill books. I read Leonard Ravenhill regularly because I felt good about feeling guilty about not praying. So I thought I evened the balance a little bit because I felt rotten about not praying. And I prayed, but I didn't like it. And when the Lord said, you'll do 24/7 prayer with singers and musicians 40 years ago in May 83, we didn't do it for 16 years. I still pastored that church, but I put the sign on the wall. We would do 24-hour prayer with singers and musicians. And for 16 years of this young adult church, I was 27 at the time. You know, we grew to about 3,000-4,000 people, and new people all came and said, what's that? And I, for 16 years, I said, I don't have a clue what that is. So 24 years ago, I resigned it. The church had started IHOP. And no, I didn't like prayer. Honestly, it was a calling, but I like it now. Of course, we got anointed music. That really helps. Because all of our worship, all of our prayer meetings are led by full-time worship teams. So that really, the good ones, anointed ones. I mean, that it's kind of like cheating because if you have anointed worship, you praying's way easier. But no, I didn't like it. And I loved revival. I mean, our histories are so set the same. I was John G. Lake, Reinhard Bonnke, Leonard Ravenhill, First and Second Great Awakening. Finney, and if I have to pray to get that, I will endure prayer. But no, I did not like it, but I do like it, but not always. I don't want to exaggerate. I mostly do.
Yeah. And Mike, when I talk about you behind your back, aside from your passionate love for Jesus and great example, it's that you have lived this out. You have lived in the prayer room. So God gave you this what's called the harp and bowl model, rather than just people crying out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, year in, year out, which is very challenging, to have it based in the music. So the music becomes a prayer.
scriptures will be prayed, verses lifted up to the Lord, people joining in, praying in their own way. So it's now, how long has it been going from this one location, 24-7 prayer and worship?
24 years. And so every 2 hours, another worship team comes on the stage. Typically, our worship teams have about 10 people. We have 40 full-time worship teams because we have 600 staff. And the reason we have 600 staff is because they raise their support like YWAM. So if we had to pay them all, it would never work. But they're missionaries. We call ourselves intercessory missionaries. So they're full-time. It's their occupation. That's the only reason we can do it. If it was like the church I pastored 16 years, you couldn't do this with a local church.
Right.
But if you have 600 full-time staff, you can do it. And about 400 of them are singers and musicians. And so we have 10, typically 10 on a worship team. So at 2 a.m., there's 10 of them. 4 a.m., another team of 10. 6 a.m., another team of 10. 8 a.m., another team of 10. Not always 10, but typically ballpark. And they overlap on the stage for about 5 minutes. So therefore, the music is never stopped once in 24 years by the grace of God.
Wow. So continual stream of worship to the Heavenly Father and prayer to his throne. And then many others just come in the prayer room to pray with this atmosphere of worship, to pray and meet with the Lord.
And there's go ahead.
No, how many are typically in there?
Typically on a low time, there's about 80 or 100. And on a normal time, there's 300-400 in a room. And maybe 10 times a week, there's 500 people in the room.
Extraordinary.
But there's 84 2-hour prayer meetings every week. So mostly 200-400 somewhere in there, typically 84 times a week, sometimes lower, sometimes a little higher.
Yeah, and this is one of the most supernatural things that I know of that's happened to sustain this. By God's grace, you don't go out recruiting and people, again, have to raise their funds to do it. But it's a key thing. I know, Mike, in all seriousness, that some of the grace that's on me to do what I do, to tackle real demonic strongholds and to be blessed. I don't live a life of oppression. I live a life that's blessed. I know a big part of it is the prayer support I get. And I know that you and I have prayed for me for many years.
Yeah, I'm indebted to you. Michael Brown intercessor. I am on your team. And the truth is you got the hard job. I sit in a chair with anointed music hours a day, and you're out on plane fares, jet lag, time zones, preaching, controversy, enemies, and I'm crying and worshiping, and Lord bless Michael. I love him. I mean, you got the hard assignment.
I always look at it the other way, that those in the prayer room get the hard assignment. But the way you describe the prayer room, maybe not. All right, so with all that's going on, there's something that is bigger than anything any of us have touched from May 7th to May 28th. So I want to take this segment, and we'll get into the next segment as well, to talk about this. Paint a picture, what's going on, and then we'll let everyone know how they can all participate. How big is this?
Well, on March 7th, the Lord stirred us to give a call to pray for Israel for 1 hour a day for 21 straight days in May. And we have a reason for the dates, May 7th, 28th. I don't think we need to cover that here. But 1 hour a day, we are calling people across the nation. At the 3-week mark after March 7th, so about April 1st, 1 million, literally, I hate exaggeration when we're talking about the kingdom of God. If I tell you how many push-ups I do, I might exaggerate. But when it's the kingdom of God, I do not like exaggeration. I really don't. I don't like that. But at the 3-week mark, 3 weeks after March 7th, 1 million. Now we're 3 weeks later. I quit counting at the million mark because I only wanted to see 1 million so I could say 1 million so people would stop and say, what? I just wanted to stop and said, what is this?
So this is 1 million people committing that they'll be praying at least an hour a day.
Hour a day.
All right. So within 3 seconds,
today it will be 5 million, I'm guessing, but nobody will ever know but heaven. Because many big ministries, I'm doing probably 3 or 4 Zoom calls a day. And many of the Zoom calls, guys like you, you're touching well over 1 million people, whether you use that number or not. Your downline's way bigger than that. And I'll be on 700 Club and all these different TV stations with millions and millions. I haven't done that yet. And we already, I believe, 5 million, because I'm talking to leaders collectively, I do Zoom calls with like 100 leaders, like in Brazil, 7 million in their downline. 100 leaders in South America, Spanish, 5 million in their downline. We're doing it in Korea. We're doing it in Russia. We're doing it in 15 languages. I don't even know how many languages, but we have a website called Isaiah 62 Fast. And this website, it's not an IHOP website. I wouldn't touch this with IHOP. I told our team and they agreed. I didn't have to tell them this. Don't touch this with unholy hands. This is not a ministry promo center. It's a directory. It's what it is, where thousands of ministries can put their ministry information. If they will commit to 1 hour a day for 21 days, I don't care if there's three people in their prayer meeting. I don't care if they do it virtually on a telephone with three in their car with three other cars. If they'll do it at least two or three people for 1 hour a day, fast any way you want, fast a lot, fast a little, fast half. That's not my business, but we're in the spirit of fasting. I said, you can put your link on the Isaiah 62 website, and millions of people are looking at that website, and we got a bunch of languages on it, and they'll put it on the search bar. And if they put Tokyo, you know, house of prayer or praying, they'll find a few links in that area, so that our goal is not to get people to link up with us. My link is on it. My Mike Bickle app link is on it. And I want a Michael Brown app on it. And if you'll pray for two or three people,
we'll do it. Again, you'll do it.
You can do it virtually even. You don't even have to be in the same room. And I'll put your app. I want people to see it. And then anybody can put their app on it. But that Isaiah 62 does not have a theological position. That Isaiah 62 does not have eschatology on it. We have pre-trib, post-trib, blah, 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 trib. I don't want to argue that. On my app, I have a position, but not on Isaiah 62 website. Not on that position. On that website. So it's a directory so people can find people in their area. And so people can say, well, I didn't know in Charlotte that these guys were here, and I want to join them social media, and a whole bunch of conversation about Israel is going to explode across the earth, because this is going to escalate the conversation about Israel.
Extraordinary. And it just so happens, coincidentally enough, that we'll be in Israel during a good chunk of that time, just a prearranged tour. And the leader of a key armor bearer, spiritual armor bearer, leads a house of prayer in Texas. That's one of the key intercessory bases that we have. The leader, his wife, some of the other team will be there. It just happens at the same time. Okay, we're going to come back on the other side of the break. And Mike, I want you to help our listeners understand why this is so important. Obviously, having millions of people praying for Israel is a big, big thing. The question is, why Israel? Why does this matter? Those listen to my show regularly understand the significance, but there's so many others that we do touch. Let's reemphasize this. Let's put a giant exclamation point behind this. And Isaiah 62, if you haven't read it recently, friends, read it. It will jar you. It will stir you afresh. For Zion's sake, I will not keep quiet. God even says, those who put the Lord in remembrance, paraphrase, he's saying, wear me out, wear yourselves out, wear you out until the answer comes.
Chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated, at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
Let's hear what customers are saying.
I'm a personal trainer and owner of three gyms. Super excited, doing a renovation in here, bringing new equipment in. And as I was bringing the new equipment in, I was trying to move a piece. I moved, the equipment didn't move, and I injured myself severely. So it was frustrating. It was really depressing. I wasn't able to work out. I wasn't able to train. I wasn't able to do just normal daily functions. After taking Nopale, I found that it really helped with my recovery, not only with my severe injury in my back, but it also helped in my recovery of my workouts.
Nopale has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
The Truth Network
presents Life 101, the basic rules for getting by and moving ahead in life.
There are thousands of financial books out there, yet overall our personal finances are in pretty bad shape. That proves one thing: the latest advice and the latest book on the newest financial twist is not really working. All the really good advice is really nothing new at all. In fact, some of the best financial advice goes back thousands of years. There's a simple but dramatic piece of advice in Proverbs 6 in the Bible. It says, "Go to the ant and consider its ways and be wise. It stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food for the harvest." Now that is financial advice from the Bible that can turn your life around. Our consumer-driven society obsesses about ways to spend money, but the Bible says, like the ants, we should instead focus on ways to save money. A lesson we can learn from the ants. The point is, we don't need more financial advice. We simply need to apply the old-fashioned advice that's been around for years, or even millenniums. An aggressive, radical savings plan can utterly transform your family's finances. You are listening to the Truth Network. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm speaking with my dear friend, Mike Binkle. Mike, you're talking about this Isaiah 62 initiative. Millions and millions of people praying for Israel, May 7th to 28th, fasting. I know you and your base will be doing a 21-day fast, others fasting something each day or different days. And remember, all you're doing is making this commitment if you've got a group of people. So among you, commit. You can even, you know, take different days and emphasize things a certain way, but it's a corporate commitment that we're making. And obviously, as I'm on the front lines, reaching the lost sheep of the House of Israel, fighting anti-Semitism, all this, the fact that this prayer initiative is taking place is mind-boggling to me. And God says in Isaiah 62, "You who put the Lord in remembrance, give yourselves no rest and give me no rest until I establish Jerusalem, the praise of all the earth." So Mike, unpack this for us. Take a few minutes. Why is this so critically important? I mean, why Israel? Just another piece of land, another people on the earth. Or are we getting into politics? And why is this so important?
I love this. First of all, I'm going to mention why Isaiah 62, because we put that in the title of this fast. Because 95% of the body of Christ doesn't know what Isaiah 62 is, which is okay, because the Holy Spirit has not globally emphasized it. But at the end of May, when 5 million plus believers are praying, once again, that's not an official number. That's just, I'm sure it will be more than that. But 5 million people praying 1 hour a day with two or three people with Israel, or maybe they're joining a web stream of other people and they're just got their phone and they're listening. That's still prayer. They don't have to be verbalizing the whole hour. And so by the end of May, there will be millions of 5 or 10 million believers that will know what Isaiah 62 is about. And I want to say, of all the prophetic chapters, and there's some amazing prophetic chapters in the Old Testament, that chapter, 12 verses, is line up on line, glory of God in Jerusalem. I mean, there's no more concentrated passage of the glory of God in Jerusalem than Isaiah 62. A year from today, I think after these millions pray 1 hour a day and they each have a few friends, go forward a year. there'll be 20 or 30 million more Christians talking about Israel because their friends are said it. And I don't mean they'll all believe it, but they'll be in the conversation. I think 30, 40 million more than are today Gentile believers, because these 5 million plus will tell their friends who will tell their friends who will tell their friends. And we're going to keep this Isaiah 62 website up. We're not going to use it for other things. And we're going to keep it as a prophetic witness of all the names and the languages. So when somebody in October hears it, they go, there's no way millions of people prayed for Israel. They'll see it. They'll go, oh my goodness. Wow. Then the question will be why? And the conversation is critical. Could you imagine, Michael, 30 million Gentile believers a year from today? That's just a made up number. That's not a prophetic number. Talking about the biblical narrative of Israel in a way they don't even talk about once today. That will change the history of the body of Christ.
Come on. Come on. It has to be. Listen, it is the final prayer to be answered, in a sense, a Jewish Jerusalem welcoming back the Messiah. And Isaiah 62, Lamatan Sion lo echsheh, Lamatan Yerushalayim lo eshkot. So for the sake of Zion, I won't hold back. I won't be silent. For the sake of Jerusalem, I will not hold back my voice. I mean, it's an extraordinary passage. As many times as I've read it, I'm still stirred afresh. Why is it so important for Jerusalem to be the praise of all the earth? So take a couple minutes
and answer. Two reasons, two big reasons, and five other ones, but I'm only hit two. Before I do that for 10 seconds, I'm going to say, if somebody will put their ministry information, I'm thinking of you now, putting your ministry app. That doesn't mean you yourself have to lead the hour of prayer. That's not what that means. It means your ministry will, because you'll be taking some trips, and you have incredible teaching to put on that app about Israel. I know this sounds like I'm flattering you, but you've got more living understanding. There might be another guy or two out there that I could think of, but for Michael Brown to have an app with all of this stuff, and you're going to unpack these passages. Oh my goodness. I'm going to jump on your app and see. Now, we're not putting teaching on the Isaiah 62, just the ministry links, because we don't want it to be a teaching website, but a directory. So, again, the guy who puts the ministry on it doesn't have to themselves lead it every day, but their team does. So now, why Jerusalem? Why now? Two big reasons. The one I already mentioned is that the body of Christ, 95% of the body of Christ, that's a made-up number. I don't have facts on this, but I've been a preacher for 50 years like you, and so I kind of think I'm really close to accurate. 94% of the body of Christ is silent about the biblical narrative of Israel. That doesn't mean they're against it. They're silent and they're unschooled. And Paul said, I wish that you were not unaware. He said, ignorant, actually. I wish you were not unaware of this divine narrative. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25, he goes, I don't want you unaware of this narrative. He's talking to Gentile believers in Rome. But 95% of the body of Christ is unaware, not against, but unaware. Silence. So this 5-3 weeks with some millions is going to create a global conversation, and millions will discover it because it's not hard to find. Once you look for it, it's easy. It's not hard. So that's number one, but that's not the only reason. Number two, Israel, I believe, because I've heard others, not because I'm an expert. I'm not an expert on this at all. But I've heard from really top-level guys in Israel that Israel will be in their greatest crisis in 75 years of being a nation in May. I said, I heard this a month ago. I said, what? What do you mean in their greatest crisis? They said, probably, not for sure, Israel will have a civil war in May or June. I said, this is not possible. This is a month ago. Well, I went on YouTube. It's all over YouTube. And Michael, just so you know, I heard 25-minute segments on YouTube, so I am an expert on Israel now. I get it. I get the political dynamics. No, it's everywhere. The right is saying it. The left is saying it. The spiritual people, the liberal, the atheist. I said, this can't be true. What? And I don't know that it will happen, but God has a some millions of Gentiles praying for that across the earth that he orchestrated. I mean, this thing caught wind far bigger than anything anybody could have ever guessed. And so that's that. And then also in May this year, for the first time in history, Iran has a nuclear weapon. Some of the experts say, no, they won't have it till June. Okay, May, June, whatever. A nuclear weapon, because Iran is not threatening to blow up Israel. They are promising to blow up Israel. I mean, boldly. It's like they're bragging about it. And there's about five more crises that are escalating in Israel in May. I won't go into that. It's all over YouTube. It's just a little bit of effort. Five weeks ago, I didn't really even know this. And so the 2 points, the escalation of the biblical, the conversation to 20, 30, 40 million people in the next year or two, that's fantastic. Because most of those will kick into the biblical narrative. And they'll go, wow, if it's in the Bible, we're going to get a bunch of intercessors out of that group. You wait and see a year or two or three. And this is a catalytic May, these 21 days. It's really a global Esther.
Hey, friends, this is Dr. Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join our support team. Make an investment of $1 a day that will absolutely last forever. You know, the Lord has given us a holy mandate to blanket America with the Line of Fire broadcast. And on a regular basis, we hear from folks writing in, Dr. Brown, I used to be a practicing homosexual. I listened to you. I heard Grace and Truth together. I was changed. We hear from pastors who say, thank you for speaking with compassion, be giving us backbone and courage. And we know across America, so many believers are getting healthy and strong through listening to the broadcast, through listening to these messages as we tackle the controversies, the most difficult issues of the day. We even hear from former Muslims who've come to faith, from Jewish people who now believe in Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, through this broadcast and our resources. So join our support team. $1 or more per day makes you an official torchbearer. Immediately, you will get access to hundreds of hours of terrific online classes and exclusive video content. Every single month, we'll send you a brand new audio message, and along with it, an insider prayer newsletter where we'll talk about the things that are going to be coming in our ministry and share some of the amazing testimonies of the fruit that you are a part of. And when you do sign up, I want to give you two books as a special gift. First, Compassionate Father, a Consuming Fire. Who is the God of the Old Testament? I take the best of my Hebrew and Old Testament scholarship, wrap it together in this book that you'll find eye-opening, answering many of the questions you have. And then Revolution, my classic book that tells you how to wage war the Jesus way, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. We are transformed. We can bring transformation to the nation. So call this number now, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Say, I'd like to become a torchbearer, or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown. If the voice sounds slightly different, it's because we recorded the interview with Mike Bickle a few days back in a different office in our building here in order to do it via Zoom. I hope you're stirred by that. I hope you can join in praying, fasting, as you feel led to do it for the Jewish people, for the salvation of Israel. If you've got a Jewish-related question for me now, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I will get to your calls shortly. So what about this talk about a civil war in Israel?
Next week, I plan to have on the air with me Jonathan Feldstein, an Orthodox Jew and a friend living in Israel, to get some further perspective on what's happening there. And quite remarkably, I mean, it's really something utterly amazing that we will be there with our tour group, God willing, right in, as Israel is about to celebrate its 75th anniversary, and right in the midst of this time of a massive call to prayer for Israel around the world in an unprecedented way. But just let me give you the short version. There is a patriotic battle within Israel with two different visions of Israel. Some have called it First Israel and Second Israel. When Israel was formed, they were supposed to have a constitution, but they never did. And there was always a bit of a question, is it a Jewish state or is it a state for Jews? This is, I'm not using my own language here, but the language that others have used in describing this. In other words, taking the best democratic principles of the West and saying, hey, we want that for us as well, and a place where the Jewish people can live in safety and be who they are freely and with the best democratic principles of the enlightened society, et cetera, et cetera. Or should be a Jewish state in terms of the biblical holidays or our holidays. The Sabbath is the Sabbath, and it's not just a state for Jews, but a Jewish state. So two visions that overlap but can be conflicting. And that is what has really come to the surface now in many, many ways, with the current government being the most right-wing in history. And the protests that have just been going on and on, initially against judicial reforms, but now going on even more broadly, thousands of people in the streets on a regular basis. Do I personally anticipate violence and a civil war in that sense? No, I don't sense that. And it could be prayers of restraint are being used by God to hold these things back. But it is a time of ideological civil war like never before in Israel. Some commentators are very excited, saying this will force us to write a constitution and work out a compromise that everybody can live with, because you're always going to have a certain tension between the religious and the non-religious and those with different versions and visions of Zionism. But this is a hopeful time, and others say we're at an impasse. And again, when I look at Israel, when I look at the situation of Israel and the Palestinians, many things I look at as impasses where we need divine intervention. And of course, ultimately, the return of the Messiah. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Tobias in Oregon. You are on the line of fire. Thanks for calling. Tobias, are you there?
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, lovely, lovely. So I would like to discuss with you, who are the enemies of Christ, according to the Bible, and who are the Gentiles in the New Testament?
Okay. So enemies of Christ would be those who oppose the gospel. They could be unbelievers. They could be false apostles. Different ones. You know, Paul warns about enemies of Christ who are false teachers, so they claim to be followers of Jesus, but they are false teachers. Enemies of Christ could be those who oppose Jesus directly. There could be Jewish non-believers that would be enemies of Christ, like the Thessalonian Jews that tried to stop Paul from preaching. So it's not a specific people, but it describes people from a wide range of backgrounds who oppose the gospel and oppose the preaching of the gospel. As for Gentiles in the New Testament, it can be used in a derogatory sense, meaning pagans, like Ephesians 4, living like the Gentiles live. Otherwise, Gentiles simply means people from the nations. So Paul, writing to Gentile believers in Rome, says, I'm writing to you Gentiles, inasmuch as an apostle to the Gentiles.
So you believe, I just got to clarify, that you believe, for instance, that when it says to the nations, you believe that's talking about Chinese people, that's talking about people in the Philippines, that's talking about everybody?
Yes, sir. Non-Jews.
Okay, and for the record, when you say Jew, Do you mean Yahad or do you mean Yahudi?
There's no such thing as Yahad.
Okay, so we can deal with that later.
There's nothing to deal with. That's a fact. Just like there's no such place as Oregonation nominee. It's just made up word. So there's no such people as Yahad. Yehudi is the Hebrew for Jew.
Okay, and would you say that somebody from the tribe of Dan is the Jew?
Yeah, that's to the extent that we know who they are today, they'd be part of the Jewish people. Yeah. In the New Testament, Jews are generic for all the tribes of Israel, all the 12 tribes.
And that's where I would have to correct you, and I'd say that you're going off on that statement, sir.
No, there's nothing to correct me on, sir. I'm factually accurate. I've looked at every single reference to Jew in the New Testament.
The good thing is that we're going to go through the book today. We're going to verify your assertions.
Hang on. You're a guest on my show right now. All right, it's not for you to lecture me or tell us what we're going to do now. All right, this is not your show. If I'm on your show, you can tell me what we're going to do. If you have a question, I'm happy to help you with your question. All right, if you're coming in with anti-Semitic biases or Hebrew-Israelite nonsense or something, we'll just expose that. That's fine. But in terms of factually, when we speak of the Jews in the New Testament, right, that is speaking of all the 12 tribes that remain, Paul referencing the 12 tribes when he speaks, James representing the 12 tribes. So everyone that was part of Israel that continued to be identified as Israel is called Jew in the New Testament. And it's quite explicit. It's not ambiguous.
I don't mean any disrespect, sir. I just know that you believe in the Bible. I believe in the Bible. And the Bible says, blessed is he that readeth, you know, not one jot nor one tittle. Right, shall know why pastor will also.
Sure.
I want to go to the book.
That's what I've been quoting, is the book.
All right, so if you could please, I would like to start off with the first point, Luke 19 and 27.
Okay,
what is your understanding on
it? What about it?
What is your understanding on it?
You can go ahead and read it.
Oh, okay. It says right here in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 27, in the King JV and the Apocrypha, it says, but those my enemies...
What do you mean, and the Apocrypha?
Which would
Tobias, what do you mean, and the Apocrypha? What does the Apocrypha have to do with this? The Gospel of Luke is the New Testament. So why are you mentioning the Apocrypha?
Could I answer you after I'm done reading?
No. Answer me. What do you mean by the Apocrypha? Why did you bring that in?
I apologize.
Okay. If you made a mistake, that's fine.
I didn't mean to offend you.
It's not offend. Luke, Tobias, it's not offending me. You just said something ridiculous. You said Luke 19:26, then you said Luke 19:27 in the King James and the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha is books like First Maccabees or Ecclesiasticus and things like that. That's the Apocrypha.
Yeah, I'm very familiar.
Oh, okay. So why did you say Luke 9:26? In the King James and the Apocrypha?
I said 1927.
First you said, okay, and, okay, so 1927 in the King James and the Apocrypha. What did you mean?
Well, I mean, I have a Bible in front of me, and my Bible has the Apocrypha in it. So that's all I'm saying. That's what I'm reading from.
Okay. All right, so all right. Luke 1927
so right here,
in the King
of
James.
Luke, chapter 19, verse 27.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It says, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them,
mm-hmm.
bring hither and slay them before me.
Mm-hmm.
So was that fulfilled?
Well, it's a parable. What do you mean was it fulfilled? It's a parable.
Okay.
It's not a prophecy.
So
it's a parable.
And what is the parable describing?
The parable is describing judgment on Jewish people who rejected the gospel and the destruction of the temple in the year 70.
Okay.
So many of my people died then.
Okay, that I'm not going to dispute that claim. You know, that's not what I'm here to do.
But there's nothing to dispute. There's nothing to dispute here.
Okay, well, I just want to continue on with the point. I have a dispute with that because we can go to Luke 21 and 24, and that pretty much tells us who the people are.
It's explicit. Okay, Tobias, all right, hang on. I've given you a lot of time for a call, all right? And every point you're making has zero support in Scripture, and you're claiming to be a person of the book with some bizarre agenda, making up Hebrew words, etc. And now when I tell you a verse, what it means in context and universally understood by biblical scholars in this way, you just throw it off. You can't just throw it off. That's what it says in Luke 21, 24. Pliny confirms that, that the Jewish people would be scattered and would suffer until the times of the Gentiles would be filled and then regathered. And that's what's happened in our day. We've watched the regathering in front of our eyes. But it would be best, and I'm just going to take another minute, then I've got a break, need to get to some other callers. But with all respect, sir, it's best if you just put your agenda out plainly and say what you believe. So just tell us, in your view, okay, when the New Testament speaks of Jews, who is it speaking about?
Well, I would argue that the New Testament, when it's talking about Jews, is talking about those of the kingdom of Judea, or those that followed the religion of Judaism.
Right, but more, who
a Judean. But
here's the whole thing. And just I got a break, but I gave you a lot of time. Unfortunately, didn't go anywhere. But what happened in the kingdom of Judea? Were there not remnants of all of the different tribes? Doesn't the Old Testament talk about people from Simeon, people from Manasseh, coming down in the days of Hezekiah, the days of Josiah, and joining there? Were not the Levites part of that as well? So when and why does James, Jacob, talk about 12 tribes scattered abroad? The only way that they were known, because they were still known as Jews. Right, Jews became a generic term, so there are some of the tribes scattered, lost to history. We don't know what happened to them. But the remnants of the 12 tribes have always been part of the larger Jewish people. That hasn't changed. In any case, by all means, keep studying the scripture, sir. But may I encourage you, with all respect, to just have more of a listening ear rather than calling with an agenda. Because I've been through every single reference to Jewish people in Scripture many, many times. It's really not that ambiguous. All right, may God give you grace to follow the truth.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to take this opportunity to talk to you about the importance of healthy blood flow and how it's enhanced by a miracle molecule known as nitric oxide. You see, blood vessels release nitric oxide, which increases blood flow, known as something called vasodilation. At Trivita, we take blood flow seriously for our members, and we've developed a nitric oxide plus supplement that has been formulated with natural ingredients designed to maximize nitric oxide production in our blood vessels, which increases blood flow. You may be wondering why you don't have as much energy as you used to. One study that I came across revealed that by the age of 40, we only produce about 50% of the nitric oxide production as compared to our 20s. And by the age of 70, the study showed that we're only producing about 15 to 25%. I have good news. As we age, there's another way for our body to increase nitric oxide production, and that's by converting nitrates in vegetables like beetroot into nitric oxide. Bottom line, with more nitric oxide, we stimulate more blood flow to our vital organs and we experience more energy while supporting healthy blood pressure. Trivita's Nitric Oxide Plus has been formulated to increase nitric oxide production and blood flow at every age.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at Trivita.com. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584. May you live with greater wellness.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
thanks for joining us on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. So just to back things up, a drop here, 866-34-TRUTH if you have a Jewish-related call. What Tobias was trying to say, that a Jew is someone who practices Judaism, so be a convert potentially, or someone from the kingdom of Judea. So that's ultimately where Yehudi comes from, right? Yehudi, Jew, comes from Judah, Judean, right? So Yehudi is a Judean. So the promise of Yehud, that would be under the Persians. And then if you were there, you were Yehudi, etc. Okay, so no one's arguing that. And Jews could mean specifically Judeans. But by the time you get to the New Testament, with so much of the scattering of the Jewish people worldwide that had taken place and the exiling of the northern tribes in 722 BC, that it is the remnants of those tribes that became part of the kingdom of Judea or part of the province of Yehud, hence became known as Jews. So among the Jewish people worldwide, you will have those who are descendants from the different tribes, right? In many cases, you can't trace it in terms of specific tribes. In many cases, many of the 10 tribes of Israel scattered and lost to history. What we do know for a fact is the Hebrew Israelite 12 tribes chart that some use, it's a bad joke. I mean, it's a sad joke because people actually believe it to be true. But we can know absolutely factually, for example, that Mexico is not the tribe of Issachar. We know it factually, or that Haiti is not the tribe of Levi. We know that factually. And that's why there is not a recognized historian on the planet, not a recognized geneticist on the planet, not a recognized linguist on the planet who would support the 12 tribes chart. It's just given, known. By the way, because I'm not a geneticist, I actually asked a geneticist, professor of mathematics and statistics that's done all kinds of genetics work, highly respected scholar. I asked him to take a look at some of the relevant discussion with Gorilla Hebrew and me. He said, oh yeah, he said you corrected him accurately and broke down the same stuff as I had understood it as well, because I'm not a geneticist, so I have to rely on others in terms of their studies and expertise. But it's always good if just as a caller, if you have a particular agenda that you want to get to, right, and you think I'm wrong on something, feel free to just put that out up front, right, to say, I believe X, Y, Z, what do you think of that, all right? That's perfectly fine. I don't mind that at all. Or say to me, Dr. Brown, I think you're dead wrong on X, Y, Z points, and here's what I think. That's great, as opposed to trying to lead into a discussion that's going to go in a particular direction after a half hour, which unfortunately we don't have in a setting like this. All right, let us go to Angela in Arizona. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Hey there, hello. Angela. You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Well, are you talking straight into the phone? Not Bluetooth, not Wi-Fi?
That's what give me we need one second, let me change that.
That's what we need you to do. And by the way, our call screeners do remind everybody, so it's for the quality of the call for everybody listening. All right, yes, all right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So my question is, especially with as a believer, how do I answer fellow believers who, when I tell them about it or ask them to pray for Israel and Jewish people, when they have anti-Semitic beliefs and they say anti-Semitic things to me, when I talk about that, I don't know. I've been just not having conversations with them and just leaving it at that, but I would really like to somehow engage with that.
Yeah, so unfortunately, anti-Semites, like other people with racial or religious hatred, are often blinded by their hatred. And you can present facts and information to them, and they're not going to hear. In other words, you could show them, as I knew, for example, the Hebrew-Israelite debate, I could say, look, 2 + 2 = 4. Well, it's 2 fingers here, 2 fingers here, it's 4. And if their guy says it's 87, they'll say, see, he crushed that guy. So in other words, it's often difficult to get people to actually hear facts and truth. But if the person claims to be a follower of Jesus, right, they really claim to be a follower of Jesus, I would say, okay, let's read through Isaiah 62. What's it saying? What do the words mean? Let's go through it. Okay, let's look at Zechariah 12. Is God going to fight for his people, and is Jesus coming back to a Jewish Jerusalem? Is that true? Just ask those questions. Read Psalm 122. What's it saying? How do we apply that today? That's one thing to do. Another thing is to educate them on the horrors of anti-Semitism in church history. To tell them, if they claim to be followers of Jesus, look at what's happened through church history. Look at hateful acts against the Jewish people. Look at how anti-Semitism in Europe paved the way for the Holocaust. Look at some of the vitriol of some of the great Christian leaders in history attacking the Jewish people in the ugliest terms. Where did that come from? Is that from above or is that from below? But otherwise, Angela, you have to pray that God would sensitize their hearts. God has used my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, The Tragic Story of the Church and the Jewish People, to open up many hearts and minds over the years. We've been blessed by that as Christians saw what happened in church history, saw some of the ugliness of the past, and then reevaluated some of their theology, recognizing that their wrong theology opened the door for these very kinds of attitudes. And then, you know, otherwise you just probe more deeply, what is it that you have against the Jewish people? Why are you so mad at Israel? And to help them separate fact from fiction. Hey, Angela, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let me encourage you to pray to have God's heart for the Israelis, the Palestinians, the surrounding Muslim nations, to have God's heart so it's not just, well, I'm pro-Israel. Well, what about others? Do you care about others? Rather, I love God and I love his purposes and I want to see his will done and I want to see the best for everyone, right? So as a friend of Israel, I'm happy to rebuke what I see as wrong, or call Israel to do better or step higher. And let's just say that Israel does better in many ways, ethically and morally, than many of the surrounding Muslim nations. It doesn't mean you can't call Israel higher. And as someone that believes God brought the Jewish people back to the land, that doesn't stop me from mourning over the fact that the vast majority of Israelis do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. It doesn't stop me from confronting something if I feel there's unjust treatment of Palestinians in a certain situation. And it doesn't stop me from having a burden for the Muslim world. In fact, as a Jewish person, I feel a certain commonality with the Middle Eastern Muslim world. And either way, we both are religions that go back to look to Abraham as our father, and Arabic and Hebrew being sister languages, and the Quran being something that's largely drawn from Jewish and then Christian tradition, along with alleged new revelation that Muhammad received, etc. So I feel a burden there. And then many Muslims are very, very devoted in their religion and their faith, and are very serious and very committed. Yes, you have the violent ones and the terroristic Muslims, but your average Muslim is not a terrorist. So I have a burden. My burden for Israel doesn't stop me from having a burden for others. At the same time, I recognize that through history, it was the Jewish people praying daily for the restoration of the temple and the return to Israel. It was the Jewish people every Passover saying, next year in Jerusalem. It is the Jewish people that pray facing the city of Jerusalem around the world to this day, and synagogues are built facing Jerusalem around the world. So when you're standing praying, you're facing in that direction. So there is a unique connection between the Jewish people and the land, and the same God who scattered Israel is the same God who regathers, right? A principle I learned when I was working on my doctoral dissertation on the Hebrew word for healing, that as literal as the smiting was, that's how literal the healing had to be. That if God judged a certain way when he restored, it would be the opposite of that judgment. When he scattered, that he would regather in an equal way. So I was debating one Christian scholar, and he said, God scattered Israel physically, but he'll regather them spiritually. That just does not work scripturally. Okay, friends, we are on the front lines of reaching Jewish people with the good news of the Messiah. By God's grace, we really are making a difference. I've run into so many people around the world who've told me that it was through our materials that they came to faith or are in the faith. That's all to the glory of God. It's all his grace. We're just vessels that he uses. But I want to encourage you to partner with us as we reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As we are putting out videos on a regular basis, 5 volumes we've had on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, are many materials going out to more and more people in Israel, in Hebrew, reaching religious Jews, helping Jews who've been confused by the counter-missionary rabbis to come back to the faith, reaching secular Israelis as well. So join our support team. I want to send you 2 free books as a thank you, beginning with Compassionate Father, Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament? Along with that, Revolution, eye-opening, life-changing books. You get access to hundreds of hours of classes and exclusive video content, fresh materials every single month. So call 800-538-5275. $1 a day makes you a torchbearer, one of our key supporters. 800-538-5275. Join our support team as we're on the front lines of reaching the Jewish people. Or go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Donate and Monthly Support. God bless. Back with you tomorrow.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.